Welcome to New World Notes. I am Kenneth Doust, and this is the official 100th installment of the program, which began enhancing, some say polluting, began enhancing the airwaves on Tuesday, February 12, 2008, on community station WWUH in West Hartford, Connecticut. This, our 100th installment, is titled Merchants of Fear. It's a quick and dirty survey of one of the chief ways ruling elites get a country's citizens to endorse and cooperate with government policies that are against the citizens' own interest. For instance, every war the U.S. military has started or else fought in the past 12 decades, with the possible exception of World War II. And I'm beginning to suspect that World War II itself might not stand up to much close scrutiny if the citizens knew more of the facts about the run-up to it. Is there anyone alive today who would even try to credibly justify the Spanish-American War, the conquest of the Philippines, World War I, the U.S.'s multiple invasions of Mexico, the Soviet Union, and China in the early 20th century, the Vietnam War, the invasion of Panama under Noriega, our glorious conquest of Grenada, to name only a very few of our heroic adventures? And I'm pleased to see that more and more Americans are catching on to the bloody frauds that are the Korean UN police action, the NATO-led destruction of Yugoslavia, the so-called Gulf War I, and our ongoing rape of Iraq, Afghanistan, and now, may Allah the Merciful help us all, Pakistan. And no, I mean nothing sacrilegious or even disrespectful in referring to the God of the prophets, if he exists, by one of the several names he goes by on this planet. You prefer to call him He Who Is What He Is, or Jehovah, or whatever? Help yourself. A rose by any other name would smell as sweet, Juliet reminds us. That slut. But I come not to speak of fornication. In fact, in America, they'd bust Romeo's butt for statutory rape. Not of fornication, but of war. Not eros, but thanatos. And if it's in somebody's class interest to start a nice little war with, say, Iran or Pakistan or, God help us all, Afghanistan, the way to do that is not to encourage everybody to have sex with underage Italian girls, but to scare them bleepless. It works the same in every country. As Air Marshal Goering reminded us, the events of 9/11 were scary enough, but the good citizens of Des Moines, Iowa could still say, well, thank God we provincials don't have to worry about anything like that happening here. And after 9/11, there was still wide popular opposition to invading Iraq. So somebody with access to the Pentagon's top-secret germ bomb laboratories, not Fort Detrick, incidentally, that was the junior varsity, somebody started mailing around esoteric, highly weaponized anthrax powder. It's a war crime even to possess the stuff, even for defensive research purposes. But you know the Pentagon was never a stickler for petty rules, including its own. Anyway, that's what turned Des Moines, and Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and Modesto, California. Not just the controlled demolition of three buildings in Manhattan, but the possibility of anthrax in the mailbox. To paraphrase an old maxim, still of uncertain origin, grab them in a tender place, and their hearts and minds will follow. Indeed, I will read you a pre-Iraq War scaremongering postcard sent to everyone at taxpayers' expense by the United States Postal Service. But first, let me play the audio of a very recent scaremongering public service announcement. And before I do that, let's state the main point of the whole program. Don't fall for it. The more afraid the ruling elite makes you, the quicker you will consent to policies that help the rich and powerful and hurt you. And if anybody gets killed in the process, it's more likely to be you than David Rockefeller, to say nothing of innocents abroad. But first, a word from those guardians of democracy and public safety, the Los Angeles Police Department.
What is iWatch?
It's a way to report suspicious behavior
or activity that relates to terrorism.
Terrorism is a crime.
It is our shared responsibility
to keep America safe.
That's why I watch.
It's like a neighborhood watch for the whole city.
If you see, hear, or smell something suspicious,
report it.
Reporting is easy. Use the web or the phone.
Let law enforcement determine if it's a threat.
Let the experts decide.
I watch my street.
I watch my city.
I watch my community.
I watch my America.
I watch because I have a sister.
A brother.
A family.
I watch because I have grandkids.
I watch because I care.
Because I think it's important.
A simple observation.
A single report.
Can lead to actions that can stop a terrorist attack.
Think about that.
Think about the power of that.
Think about the power of iWatch.
I watch.
I report.
I keep us safe.
To report or learn more,
go to iWatchLA.org.
My name is Chris Matthews.
My name is Mona.
Greta Ballard.
Rachel.
George.
My name is Carlos, and I watch.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the Los Angeles Police Department. The same folks who brutally beat Rodney King, who skillfully brought Orenthal Simpson to justice. Now keeping us safe from the ever-increasing terrorist menace at our doorsteps. I repeat, that clip was from late 2009, not 2001. I love the script. I watch.
I report.
I keep us safe.
Let the experts decide. And the more scared you are that any one of 12 dozen neighbors might be a terrorist, the less you're going to object to the national security apparatus monitoring every telephone call you make, recording every transaction by check or credit card, tapping every phone call you make, and every email you send. You won't object to the national ID card, which you'll have to present every time you board a train, plane, or bus, check out a book at the library, enroll in a college course, apply for a job, you name it. In England, they've already gone a step further. There's surveillance cameras everywhere in all major cities. You can walk from one end of London to the other without ever being out of sight of a video surveillance camera. All this just to protect you from the omnipresent threat of terrorism. Cleaning up the other day, I stumbled upon a postcard from the U.S. government. I infer that I received it soon after the great anthrax scare of 2000-whatever. It's signed by the Postmaster General of the United States. Ask yourself, who was Postmaster General during the first administration of I'm a wartime president Bush? Some Postmasters General are memorable. Arthur Sommerfeld during the late 1950s, early 1960s. Great anti-smut crusader, right up there with Charles Keating. He kept James Joyce's Ulysses out of the hands of our precious young people. In fact, go to an elementary schoolyard today. I bet you won't find a single kid reading James Joyce's Ulysses. Now, selling pornography was a state or local offense. Ah, but you could make it a federal offense if you sent a copy through the U.S. mail. This was back before everything was a federal offense. There was an old expression meaning, don't blow things out of proportion. The expression was, don't make a federal case out of it. Okay, I had sex with your sister. Listen, calm down. Don't make a federal case out of it. Those were the days. Here's a great story about using the federal government to enforce somebody's morality, starring Arthur Sommerfeld. In, say, 1960, you could buy nudist magazines on newsstands, which were stocked by truck, not the mail. The premier nudist organization in the United States, the American Sunbathing Association, published a monthly magazine for its members and anyone else who was interested in the subject. Sunshine and Health, it was called, and I think it's still being published. It features sincere articles on the medical and psychological benefits of nudism, and it carried photos showing, as the phrase went, full frontal nudity. Now, it was all lawful and legit, and you could buy a copy at your local urban newsstand or Greyhound station, conveniently located either on the other side of the tracks or just across the street from City Hall, depending on if your town was ruled by the Irish or the Italians. Now, there was one exception. If you were a sincere, card-carrying, dues-paying nudist, and you were a member of the American Sunbathing Association, you'd get a copy of Sunshine and Health each month, free with your membership. This, of course, was mailed to you from ASA headquarters. So the copy the card-carrying nudists got had the photos airbrushed and censored. Otherwise, the ASA would be committing sending vile, obscene pornography through the U.S. mail. A federal crime! All it took was one exposed penis in a beach volleyball game, and zip, you're all felons, and the whole non-profit organization is shut down. So the real nudists got the censored version. Your 12-year-old nephew Louis could take a bus downtown and see the beach volleyball game uncensored. That was Postmaster General Arthur Sommerfeld. But he wasn't involved in the first great anthrax scare of the 21st century, so far as I know. That dude's name was John E. Potter. No relation to the boy wizard, I am sure. He lists 7 things you should be suspicious of. Each week, everyone gets at least 3 pieces of mail that are guilty of at least 2 of the 7 criteria. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's his warning. United States Postal Service. What should make me suspect a piece of mail? 1. It's unexpected or from someone you don't know. Hey, Madge, did you expect a letter from the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society? No, I didn't, Harry. Uh-oh. Call the postmaster. This could be a terrorist attack. 2. It's addressed to someone no longer at your address. Imagine you've been living in your new house for a year, and you get a letter addressed to the previous owner. What could be more suspicious than that? Incidentally, a couple times a year, I still get a letter or piece of junk mail sent to the previous owners of the house I now live in, and I've been living here for 11 years. Obviously, it's a sleeper cell of international Muslim terrorists. 3. It's handwritten and has no return address or bears one that you can't confirm is legitimate. Your nephew Louis survived his exposure to beach volleyball, moved to Denver, and sent you a card saying, "Hi, here's my new address." But can you confirm that address in Denver is legitimate? I couldn't. 4. It's lopsided or lumpy in appearance. 5. It's sealed with excessive amounts of tape. Everything my mother and my ex-wife ever mailed me are sealed with excessive amounts of tape. I always suspected Mom, but Pat's perfidy is new to me. All right. It's marked with restrictive endorsements, such as personal or confidential. Or it has excessive postage. You got that? Somebody sends you an envelope that's full of photographs. It weighs 3 ounces. That's 78 cents postage. That's 44 cents for the first ounce and 17 cents for each subsequent ounce. 78 cents. The guy's out of 17 cent stamps, so he puts 2 first-class stamps on it. That comes to 88 cents instead of 78 cents. Obviously, this guy, which is probably your nephew Louis from Denver, after his mind being rotted from all that beach volleyball, is obviously a terrorist. All right, now the second part of Mr. Potter's card. What should I do with a suspicious piece of mail? 1. Don't handle a letter or package that you suspect is contaminated. 2. Don't shake it, bump it, or sniff it. 3. Wash your hands thoroughly with soap and water. 4. Notify local law enforcement authorities. Ask yourself, now, how many times a week do you get a piece of mail from someone you don't know or someone you don't expect to hear from? It's handwritten, has no return address, or they forgot to put the return address on. It's lumpy. It has too much tape. It says personal. It has excessive postage. How many times a week do you get a letter like that? I get 6 pieces of mail a week like that. But the purpose of the card is to make you afraid and to give you the false and misleading impression that your government is going to do something to protect you. So much for Mr. Potter. As the late, great George Carlin said in his final grand performance for HBO, it's all bullshit and it's bad for you.
There's something happening here. what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Songs and the carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. You better stop now, what's that sound?
Look, I don't want to give you the impression that I'm down on professional football players. In fact, I can remember the names of only four of them. I discussed in some detail in a recent show and mentioned once today, convicted thief, convicted wrongful death causer, and alleged murderer, Orenthal Simpson. I'm following the admirable Vincent Bugliosi in refusing to call that alleged murderer by his affectionate nickname. And for so refusing, Vincent and I are both getting a nice stipend from the Florida Citrus Commission. Anyway, Simpson is one. And I remember Roger Staubach and Terry somebody or other from the Pittsburgh Steelers way back when. And here's a guy, Bradshaw, that was his name, and here's a guy I just heard of. Noted Denver car dealer and Bronco MVP, John Elway. Talk about synchronicity. Wasn't it a white Bronco that Orenthal drove down the L.A. freeway in that famous 15-mile-per-hour car chase with Los Angeles's finest? Well, here's another white Bronco. Low mileage, yours for a song. The Cell, the Center for Empowered Living and Learning, in partnership with the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Department of Agriculture, the Colorado Information Analysis Center, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, presents Recognizing 8 Signs of Terrorism.
As I stand here inside the Cells exhibit, anyone, anytime, anywhere, understanding the threat of terrorism, I'm reminded of the morning of September 11th, 2001. I remember turning on the television and saying, how can this possibly be happening in the United States of America? Well, it's something that we're going to have to deal with the rest of our lives. The horrific events of September 11th and the Oklahoma City bombing have made it clear that terrorism is not only a very real threat abroad, but also right here at home. Anyone can become a victim of terrorism, anytime, anywhere. Together, we can change this. Each of us has a responsibility to protect our community, and we can do so by recognizing the signs of terrorism and taking proper action to stop it.
Experts agree that there are 8 signs of terrorism we should watch out for. Surveillance, elicitation, tests of security, funding, acquiring supplies, impersonation, rehearsal, and deployment.
When you witness any suspicious activities, you should report them to the Colorado Information Analysis Center, the CIAC. And for imminent threats, call 911.
Surveillance. While planning, terrorists often survey a potential target to determine its strengths and weaknesses. This may include determining how well a target is protected, identifying what type of security measures are in place, and gauging emergency response times by local police and rescue units. How do you distinguish between a tourist taking souvenir photos and a terrorist surveying a target? Often, it's about what they are taking a picture of. Are they looking at the scenery or a high security facility? Suspicious surveillance activity may include someone recording or monitoring activities, drawing diagrams, making notes, using vision-enhancing devices, acquiring floor plans or blueprints, or showing interest in the security and access points to facilities. Any of these surveillance methods may be a sign that something isn't right, and you should report it to the CIAC. Elicitation. Another sign of terrorism is elicitation. This is where terrorists attempt to gain information from people or organizations related to their target. Terrorists often inquire about operations and security of important places, such as a power plant, school, stadium, or shopping mall. Elicitation attempts are made by mail, email, telephone, or in person. Some terrorists even gain employment to monitor day-to-day activities to gather detailed information about their target. Call the CIAC if you observe any such activity.
Testing security is another key...
Elicitation concerning terrorist targets such as schools and shopping malls. Suppose you see an apparently respectable middle-class woman out on the street making a cell phone call. Hello, Mall of America? Yes, how late are your stores open tonight? 11? Great, thanks a lot. Be sure to report this to the CIAC, especially if the woman is in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Remember, loose lips sink ships, so tighten up. Your husband or boyfriend will thank you. But enough of Juliet Capulet. Listen, I dated an Italian girl in high school and have nothing but good things to say about the entire ethnicity. Let's go out with everybody's favorite lefty historian, Professor Emeritus Howard Zinn. And as humorist Richard Armour reminds us, and he was one himself, emeritus means out of merit. Anyway, here's Howard Zinn, quoting from master rhetorician and rhetor Hermann Göring on how you can get anything you want, even Alice, if you can strike fear and terror into the hearts of the masses. Friends, don't take any wood and nickels. Illegitimi non garborundum. At the very least, shout out, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And please tune in again next week. Howard Zinn.
A small group of aliens have taken over the country and trying to do with it what they will. You know, and really are. I mean, they are alien to me. I mean, those people who are coming across the border from Mexico, they are not alien to me, you see. Muslims who come to this country to live, they are not alien to me, you see. And you've seen those signs saying, no human being is alien. And I think that's true, except for the people in Washington, you see. They've taken over the country, they've taken over the policy, they've driven us into 2 disastrous wars, disastrous for our country and even more disastrous for the people in the Middle East. They have sucked up the wealth of this country and given it to the rich and given it to the multinationals, given it to Halliburton, given it to the makers of weapons. They're ruining the environment. And they're holding on to 10,000 nuclear weapons while they want us to worry about the fact that Iran may, in 10 years, get 1 nuclear weapon. how mad can you be? The question is, how has this been allowed to happen? How have they gotten away with it? They're not following the will of the people. They manufactured a will of the people for a very short time, right after the war started, as governments are able to do right after the beginning of an armed conflict. You know, they're able to create an atmosphere of war hysteria. And so for a short time, they captivated the minds of the American people. That's not true anymore. The American people have begun to understand what is going on and have turned against the policies in Washington. But, of course, they are still there. You know, they are still in power. The question is, you know, how do they get away with that? So, in trying to answer this question, I looked a little at the history of Nazi Germany. No, it's not that we are Nazi Germany, but you can learn lessons from everybody. In this case, I was interested in the ideas of Hermann Göring, who, you may know, was second in command to Hitler, head of the Luftwaffe. And at the end of World War II, when the Nazi leaders were put on trial in Nuremberg, Hermann Göring was in prison along with other of the leaders of the Nazi regime. And he was visited in prison by a psychologist who was given the job of interviewing the defendants at Nuremberg. And he asked Göring, how come the Nazis were able to get the German people to go along with such absurd and ruinous policies of war and aggression? And Göring said, why, of course, the people don't want war. Why would some poor slob on a farm want to risk his life in a war? But after all, it is the leaders of the country who determine the policy. The people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. All you have to do is tell them they're being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism. It works the same way in any country. I was interested in that last line. It works the same way in any country. I mean, these are the Nazis. That's the fascist regime. We are a democracy, but it works the same way in any country. Whatever you call yourself, whether you call yourself a totalitarian state or you call yourself a democracy, it works the same way. And that is, the leaders of the country are able to cajole or coerce and entice the people into war by scaring them, telling them they're in danger, and threatening them and coercing them that if they don't go along, they will be considered unpatriotic. And this is what really happened in this country right after 9/11. And this is what happened right after Bush raised the specter of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and got for a while the American people to go along with this. But the question is, how did they get away with it? What about the press? What about the media? Isn't it the job of the press, isn't it the job of the media, isn't it the job of journalism to expose what governments do? Don't journalists learn from I.F. Stone, who said, just remember two words, he said to young people who were studying journalism. He said, just remember two words, governments lie. Well, but the media have not picked up on that. The media have gone along.
Something happening here, what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Being wrong, nobody's right if everybody's wrong.